countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Get Irish Country Living, your magazine for rural Ireland, every week inside the Irish Farmers Journal.
Van wat zij meen dat in de komende 10 jaar moet gebeuren in de Europese landen.
On June 12, 1962, the Common Agricultural Policy was born. In post-war Europe, food was scarce, and so the Treaty of Rome, which created what is now the EU, set about a process of ensuring its citizens a safe, secure supply of affordable food. Increasing productivity, securing a standard of living for farmers, stabilising markets, and providing reasonably priced food for consumers was its remit, under the watch of its undisputed founding father, Sico Mansholt, the first agricultural commissioner. Market supports encouraged production, but by the 1970s it had become a victim of its own success. Some three quarters of the community's total budget was now being spent on the cap, which was facilitating the overproduction of food. Wine lakes and butter mountains were created.
Last week's round of world trade talks, the European community came in for relentless criticism for how it subsidises its farmers through its much discredited common agriculture policy.
In 1992, Ray McSharry was the agricultural commissioner, and his reforms to balance production were seen as a radical shake-up which began the shaping of a new look cap.
Nobody can tolerate a situation where you have 80% of the support going to 20% of the producers. That just won't be tolerated anymore. That has led to this huge surplus production that has caused us difficulty internally, budgetarily, and of course on the international stage, as well as the fact that in the last 20 years, half of the farmers of Europe left the land. We want to try and halt that decline, and the only way we can do it is by reorientating that support.
Further reforms took place in the early noughties, breaking the link between payments and production under the commissionership of Franz Fischler.
Our reforms are also altogether a kind of process with different steps.
Decoupling would see farmers paid a flat rate per hectare based on their average historical payments from 2000 through to 2002.
And also we have to look at incomes of our farming families.
It would also divide payments into two pillars, direct payments for farmers and pillar two, rural development payments.
The common bit of the policy is because all of the rules for all of the EU member states are set right here in Brussels. It's one of the few policies where the EU has full control.
Indeed, over three decades, CAP has gradually undergone a transformation, focusing more on accountability for non-primary food production, such as environmental protection and animal welfare. It costs about 60 billion euros annually to fund, or 30 cents per EU taxpayer per day.
This policy is proving increasingly controversial. That's why the EU has launched a comprehensive reform of its flagship programme in a bid to make it greener and more efficient.
The latest reform proposes to link direct payments to stricter environmental compliance, while also bringing the average payment per hectare closer to the middle. This means farmers who have been getting those higher per hectare payments linked to their farm production back in 2000 to 2002 will see these supports cut, and farms where payments are lower due to lower production back in those reference years will see their payments gradually increase in what's called convergence.
President of the IFA, Tim Cullinan.
If we keep redistributing this money, more farmers will become unviable.
We're calling in this CAP reform a fairer model for all farmers.
This has caused division among farmers and politicians. The current proposal is for 85% convergence, but MEPs and farmers on lower payments want full 100% convergence, bringing everybody to the same payment per hectare by 2026. This includes the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association, whose president is Colm O'Donnell.
There again, all farms are different. There's extensive and intensive farming systems. All citizens of the EU have a legitimate right and expectation to be called a farmer if they have a bit of land and they're in a position to carry out an agricultural activity on that land. And we need in this CAP reform to finally acknowledge that it's about more than kilos of meat here. It's about public goods and the ecosystem services that a lot of our environmentally sensitive land provides, and an acknowledgement of that. And I think in defining what's an agricultural activity needs to encompass that this time round. What's subject to convergence is the basic income support. So it's a basic income support for sustainability. And all farms should be getting that at an equal rate. And, you know, if farmers throughout the length and breadth of the country are to benefit from it, that's what we're about.
Colin McDonald, president of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association, there explaining why his members want this flat rate distribution of direct payments per hectare for all farmers rather than the 75% convergence on the table at the moment. Now, in a statement, the IFA, the Irish Farmers Association, said deeper convergence would have a devastating impact on farmers with relatively small land holdings but higher than average per hectare entitlements. This would threaten the ongoing viability of large number of farmers, which would have a significant knock-on impact for the wider rural economy. Joining me now on the line is Alan Matthews, Professor of European Agriculture at the Department of Economics in Trinity College Dublin. Professor Matthews, good morning to you again.
And good morning to you, Damien.
The new cap is all but signed off, and there are a few stumbling blocks, though, ahead of a meeting of ministers next week in Brussels. Is that the case?
Yes, there are still several issues outstanding from the so-called jumbo trilogues that failed to arrive at an agreement at the end of last month. And you've highlighted two of them in your introduction there, Damien. The first is how far should we go with the targeting of direct payments? In your opening clip, you actually referenced Ray McSherry's famous comment that it's unsustainable that 20%, that 80% of the payments go to just 20% of farmers. And actually, even since that time in 1992, that distribution hasn't actually really changed at the European level. So there's another attempt this time to try to equalise payments across farmers and to shift more of those payments towards smaller farms. So the internal convergence issue, that is the equalisation of payments across each hectare of land and the extent to which we should go to full equalisation, 100%, or hold it at, let's say, 85%. In other words, that all farmers would be brought up to at least 85% of the average rather than the 100%. That is still an open issue for the end of this month. The other issue is, as you rightly highlighted, the fact that the cap has focused increasingly on environmental and climate objectives. And there remains a debate about how ambitious the next cap should be to raise its level of ambition in these areas. And that has to do with two main areas. One is the mandatory requirements that all farmers must observe if they want to be eligible for direct payments. And the outstanding issues here really relate more to the crop sector, to tillage farmers, not so important in Ireland, but obviously to tillage farmers, they will be important. It's to do with whether they will be obliged to have crop rotation, how much of their land they should set aside for non-productive areas and so on. But the more important issue is probably the share of the overall cap payments, both in the Pillar 1, that's the direct payments, but also the Pillar 2, which is the Rural Development Programme. How large a share of those payments should be allocated to environmental and climate measures? So that's the other major issue that's outstanding for the end of this month.
And are there enough policy tools in the new package to encourage and support, you know, Irish livestock farmers in realistically meeting climate targets while also protecting their livelihoods? Because at the moment, I think the proposal is about 30% of their direct payments will be ring-fenced and will be contingent on them implementing ecosystem-type farming on their land. That would be, is that the equivalent of you or I 30% of our salary be conditional on us implementing ecologically beneficial work on a daily or weekly basis?
Well, that's a good analogy, Damien. It looks like the figure will arrive, end up closer to 25% as the minimum requirement. But we have to bear in mind the context here. We have been paying farmers all along to produce food, and indeed they do that excellently and high quality food at that. But we have ignored the environmental side effects of this food production. And we've seen a number of important reports, both internationally in terms of climate change and biodiversity loss, but also nationally and at European level. These environmental damages, if you like, arising from agricultural production can no longer be ignored. So the Green Deal, which was proposed by the new Commission at the end of 2019, sets out a direction, a strategy to try to ensure that agricultural production in Europe, including Ireland, of course, becomes more sustainable. And farmers need support to in that direction. So I think it makes huge sense to use a share of our CAP funding. And in fact, I would say, Damien, that we should go beyond the 25%, because in Ireland, our environmental indicators, unfortunately, are all going in the wrong direction. You know, greenhouse gas emissions from agriculture are not stable. They're not falling. They're increasing. Our ammonia emissions are above our legal limits. Our biodiversity is declining, our bee numbers, the number of birds on the red list is increasing, and water quality, particularly in the more intensively farmed areas in the south and the east, is falling. So there's a huge challenge to be met. And we have an opportunity now, when we draw up our so-called National CAP Strategic Plan, which will come into force from the beginning of 2023. So that's going to set out how we in Ireland are going to use the 1.8 billion euros that we get annually through the CAP. And we should ensure that we, as much as possible, target those payments and make effective use to help farmers in that transition to more sustainable agricultural production.
Supporting CAP, it's relatively cheap, a few euro to us taxpayers per week. But are we getting value for money finally, Alan?
Well, in my view, we could be making, as I said, a much more effective use of the very significant transfers that come in. And, you know, we should also bear in mind that the government has promised additional resources on top of the CAP. From the carbon tax revenue, for example, 1.5 billion over the coming years, in addition to CAP funding, again, to help farmers to meet, you know, what are undoubted challenges in terms of reducing greenhouse gas emissions, as well as protecting biodiversity and water quality. So I think we have an opportunity to make, you know, more effective use of those resources than we have been doing to date. We've had agri-environment schemes, of course, GLOS, which has had some benefits in terms of biodiversity. We see that, but it hasn't had any impact on those greenhouse gas emissions, which, as I say, continue to increase. And we do need, we have very ambitious national targets being set in this climate bill, which was passed by the Dáil earlier in the week. So, you know, the challenges facing agriculture are indeed partly economic, mm-hmm. but they are also increasingly environmental. And we need to ensure that, you know, both of these objectives are addressed in the new CAP strategic plan.
It can be a quite discombobulating subject to discuss, but a very, very important one for us all, because, of course, it also amounts to us being able to avail of a cheap local food as well. But a lot of challenges ahead. As always, Professor Alan Matthews of Trinity College, thank you so much for joining us on the programme this morning.